All right, evening everybody. We are going to call the meeting to order. It is 5:37 PM. Greg, can you take attendance?
Sure. Anne, are you here?
Here.
Donald, are you here?
Here.
This is Greg, I'm here. Kara, are you here? And Sarah, are you here?
I'm here.
And we also have Ms. Krishna, Mr. Daniel, and we are all in person.
Yep. Well, we have a dispenser and I can get you a cup.
Okay. Are there any action items or discussion items that we want to reorder to the agenda? All right, hearing none, we'll open it up to appreciations.
This is Greg. I'd love to just appreciate the triumphant return of Miss Rosie. I'm just glad it's great to knowing that she's back here on campus and it seems that all is well, and that's really exciting. Glad to have her back.
I want to appreciate all of the staff and teachers who attended the listening sessions that I did over the last couple weeks. We had 10 people total, which was great, and a variety of staff. So it's great and to hear direct feedback from them and get to know them a little better.
Everybody,
I know. I know we miss you in December.
Here this time. Oh, we mentioned those school info night the other night, and I really appreciated it.
Great.
Yeah, which
that was like kind of the one. It was better than the first one, but not you. Made four back. And kids were there, which was fun.
Yeah.
To our teacher trainees who have spent 3 weekend days this month here.
Oh, wow.
One full weekend and last Saturday, here all day, learning the lesson, practicing, and talking theory. 6 teachers and Toby and Miss Toby.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have one more. Okay. I'm a kindergartner, but having a really hard time coming back from holiday break. Because Marquita gave her a hug every single morning and walked up with her. It was the sweetest thing ever. And she's like really excited to come to school. Yeah. It's just really appreciated. She went an extra mile with her.
All right, let's move to board member comments. So any comments on item or on topics that are not pertaining to any of the agenda items? All right. Is there anyone on Zoom? Okay, so no members of the public present. So we will move through from presentations on the floor to our head of school report. Sorry. Usually you have more buffer there.
We've caught Krishna mid-bite.
Yeah.
This is what I want to do. Kind of weird to do this not on Zoom. Are you presenting it over there? Or are you letting people?
There's no one on the Zoom call.
Okay, so you don't even need to like share a screen.
No, you can.
It feels really weird.
Yeah, we're.
Feels very weird.
We're just doing work. Yeah.
I have a slightly different kind of school report this month. college board retreat and my conversation that Sarah and I had, and not feeling like there's a ton of other like important things to say. And one of the things that I hear everybody talk about with board retreat, so, you know, obviously we went over those goals, but one of those goals was for us to like incorporate land acknowledgement and the AMR statement into the work of the board and into the each committee. And so we talked about like how do we get that started. And so we thought maybe we start some of that here. And so we're going to revisit community agreements. It's almost like a precursor to doing that other work, but also take things to read the land acknowledgement out loud right now, which I don't think we've ever done it.
No.
I do not have that memorized. I am worried about my pronunciation and going to do my best to read that out loud. So, and Daniel, correct me if I miss, if I not make sense. Thank you. Okay, this is our land acknowledgement. So hopefully you've all read it before. And I'll read it out loud. The land that we work on, teach on, and inhabit every day is the ancestral unceded land of the Lishan Ohlone, the land of Beacon. The Lishan were the original stewards of the land that we currently refer to as Oakland, California. For thousands of years and hundreds of generations, they cultivated a reciprocal relationship with the land and built and continue to build their cultural practices and balance with nature. With the arrival of Spanish missionaries and the building of mission plantations in the late 1700s, many of the Lishan Ohlone were forced into enslavement. The subsequent colonization and genocide has been and continues to be resisted by the Lishan Ohlone people. The Lishan Ohlone people preserve and revitalize their cultural history through education, restoration of the native Chichinyo language, and the practice of cultural storytelling. The confederated villages of Lishan have been denied federal recognition of the tribe, which means that they have no protected land and do not receive any benefits or compensation under U.S. laws. Despite this, the Lishan Ohlone people lead a successful resistance for rematriating the stolen land through a land tax for non-Indigenous residents to pay so that the Lishan Ohlone people can buy back their land. As spokesperson for the Confederated Villages of Lishan, Karina Bula says, it does not matter whether or not this government recognizes us. My ancestors recognize me. This work is for them. The resistance is strong and growing. UMCF will contribute a percentage of all fundraising to be determined yearly in collaboration with the UMCF Board of Directors and the Family Advisory Council to the Saborite Land Trust and the Cary Children's Learning Institute to support and uplift Indigenous voices and others oppressed by the colonial history of learning what we heard all to be the same. So that's long to read at every meeting. And so one thing we've been talking about is like how do we incorporate maybe a briefer land acknowledgement with reference to our full length one in all of the spaces that we're in. I wanted to give it a moment here. Not going to read our AVAR statement, but I did link it on the next page, and it came in connection to this part of the work. Sarah and I talked about how revisiting or just us sharing more about how we use our community agreements as a way to step into the work of our anti-racist, anti-bias statement and commitment would be helpful for the board, maybe thinking about whether setting your own community agreements or adopting some of the ones that our staff created might be an entry point for making sure that this part of the work doesn't get lost. Okay, so just like we talked about this a little bit, like in August, probably.
I'm just curious on the land acknowledgement. How is that currently showing up at the school now? Is that in all adult spaces? Does it come into classrooms at all?
So we looked at all the staff, right? The staff wrote it essentially. And part of our conversations early in the year was how getting together by level to say how we're going to bring this to students. So a lot of classrooms are the plan is to have this, but also how do we support our students in creating a version for the classroom based off of their own research and their own connections to finding the connection. So that's still early on, but that's the initial conversation.
So then thinking about the community norm, we wanted to sort of like review how we started this process here. And so we developed our agreements collectively in the first 2 weeks of PD, really started on the first day and continued with quite a bit of time on several subsequent days in the first week for us to come to like a full consensus. So we reviewed an article that's in my slides here. And we engaged in a lot of discussion, both in a small group and then coming back into full group, making the draft. And then we visited the draft later in the afternoon, and 2 days later, and the next day, and the next day. And every day, every time we come together, we can be review. So like one of the things we started with that I thought was a simple topic to put up was something we received from Embracing Equity that talked about the characteristics of that dominant white supremacy culture and how those like show up, and then like commitments that can be made to disrupt each of those elements. So this like this is like kind of down the room of that law that article has detail on all of these cases, but this is at least for today, right? We move on to the slide and then this article, but we really dig into this. With the fusion, which is quite its length on the previous page. And so you'll see those similarities between some of these some of the commitments that we ended with, right? And we're still document, so it's like subject to change with any meeting, you know, or that conversation can be opened back up. But it feels like the time we put in August and those couple of subsequent meetings. I'm glad to say that most people feel really comfortable with even the staff here. So, this I always have a poster, right, that we have like on our little board, right, by the calendar.
I think one thing is the process was modeled to us in our summer training with Embracing Equity, and that was kind of the process that we used as a smaller cohort to create community norms facilitated by Nick Sullivan. And then we kind of modeled that process with full staff in August.
Mm-hmm. So Embracing Equity, do they do audits or peers? Mm-hmm. Or have they done one here?
Mm-hmm.
They have.
We did one. We hired staff to be closer than last March. And we used that equity audit in this work. And then it's like, not, it was exactly directly connected, but they were like similar days with the meeting where looking at this, looking at our equity audit, that goals and next steps. So then, sure. I mean, one
thing about the equity audit is that only step.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the way that we're working, so they continually adjust and send these agreements, our land acknowledgement, made our statement. We bring the community agreements to every meeting. We're, you know, trying to review and reference our land acknowledgement and neighbor statements of the staff and lots of different contexts. But one of the things we're doing is meeting in affinity once a month,
mm-hmm.
and using that space. That tends to be the space where we're digging more into the ABAR space. And I think the land acknowledgement looks a little different in every arena. And you know, we have tons of work to be doing still with that, but just trying to keep that fun as we go through and like just sharing that again so that committees and the board can think about it, you know, how it makes sense,
mm-hmm.
to have that show up in like, you know, authentic ways that don't feel like just we're gonna mention it. Yeah. So that any like thoughts or questions on that? Like I mean, I know we're like we still don't have any public, right?
Yeah, it's just still just us.
Rather than questions at the end, because we should transition into some random other things real quick.
Well, I think it's interesting. So Greg and I are doing this like community of practice the Diverse Schools Coalition, with other board members from like other diverse charter schools across the country. And one of the first conversations that we had was around the white supremacy culture, and like it was just like an open discussion for board members to talk about like how these things get reflected in the board. And it was a good, really good discussion about, you know, some of the ways that laws, right, like dictate or can feel at tension with us trying to like have perfectionism, right? And can feel like we can't make mistakes in this space because it is public. And so some of those things came up. I thought it was interesting. I think I would love to offer as a next step to the group for feedback of like maybe as a board we commit to reading that article between now and the next conversation. And I would love for us to think about like the school agreements or community agreements. Is there a way that we think these could show up for the board? That's just kind of the continuing conversation for us around, you know, how do we operate in the most effective way? Is a conversation I'd love to have at the next board meeting.
And I know there's probably a lot of what exactly we can do there, but So just a couple of like the regular things we kind of eliminated, instructional and some of the other updates, figuring out fit in other some of our agenda today, but just we've had a couple of new info nights. Great Kindness Challenge is coming up January 30th through February 3rd. We're starting physical fitness testing for 5th to 7th graders. I feel like I saw that it's part of today that they might have been practicing for the start. And then conferences are coming up again already. And in February, I know I'm like, oh, it's a month out, but putting it up there. And then FSAC testing, it was right after conferences. That was in March, and you can just put that on the radar. Talk a little bit about enrollment to connect with it. Next thing, we're still enrolling for this year, so particularly TJK spaces, if folks have one, that there's some thought in person, second, first grade, third, and I think second grade as well. And so, with no folks, I was looking at applications currently for the current first and second graders, and I was like, I think it's great job for them. It's helping them fly over this year, you know, maybe we could bulk up some of those. But so then I also did, was looking like the number of applications by grade at like 255 today. So it could be different, but like that's what I pulled these numbers. We have a good number total, and like it's a pretty normal distribution. And we'd love to see a lot more in PK. That's where we really need applications and in order to have our numbers be good. And I think like, that's the spot, right? There is also some room, you know, to grow in some other grades that we'd like to hold up. So I'd say I have a wonder about like the people coming in other grades. If they're sibling to somebody in K who doesn't get in, they won't attend. But if they're just applying to come, those people do tend to want to be in. So it's like a mix. It all feels like gambling. I said this, like the enrollment is hard. It's been very unpredictable for the last few years. So I feel like I've been proven wrong every year in my assumptions, and like it'll probably happen again next year, but like you're good at adjusting on the fly, right? I know you have so many thoughts.
Well, I just had a quick question, I think, which I'm not sure if you know the answer off the top of your head, but like when we make offers, do we do it like with the oldest students first so that like if they accept, then they get in, and then if they have a sibling, their sibling gets in? Or there's not really a time.
End-to-end.
Okay.
That makes sense. Like, because
so that all the grades all at once.
But what happens is, I'll be clear that what it hasn't actually been a problem because, like, you know, the thing, it's sort of all of them at once, but we'll go TK 8, K 7. We run it towards the middle
Okay.
But like, if let's say that we offer a couple of spots in eight, let's say we have some spots, I'm not going to have five and eight, but even if I offer one spot in eight, the chances there are greater than K, right, for the 15 spots, like just doing the stacks there. And then if somebody gets that and they have a K sibling, the K sibling, even if they don't get it, they're at the top of the wait list, which means they'll get
in. They'll likely get in. I got you. Okay.
We can open more spots for siblings and we do that.
Okay. Right?
And like we'll sometimes even when we're over enrolled, we'll be like, well, we need the second grade because they have a fifth grade sibling. Like at this time of year, we're looking at those things. Can we accept, can we make an offer to the second grade who we need? And accept their holy siblings. Sometimes the answer is no, and we'll just make the offer to the second grader and say sorry. But most of the time, we're trying to like balance those things. And at the beginning of the year, like if people who are on the wait list, they'll get like at the top, that moving to number one or number five, they're going to get in. Like they'll get in like soonish.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be like, wow. So usually it works out fine for like anybody who gets one and that is both within, you know.
But at a previous board meeting, I know that somebody was working on updating the marketing materials.
Mm-hmm.
Are they ready?
Fire and posting here, they've been taking home some stickers. First round with flyers, it's a little postcard. Wednesday, and I think then we're gonna like make sure they're good and then do a larger order.
I'm just thinking about all of the TK and K parents I know who have kids in different daycares and preschools that, I mean, their kids are going to come here, right? But like, does everyone know, like, does everyone at that school know about it?
Yeah, we're going to target those very specific places. Honestly, and we're not going to just pan them out to parents today. We will call parents and be like, we're going to do some of that. And we've talked to them in our ops team about, like people on the team.
Yeah.
This is looking up the county. Mapping them to be like, who's in the 884? Because that's where we want it. And it's like just the 884 east to west, and mm-hmm. like we don't need anybody above that really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's particularly in TK, okay, mm-hmm. where there's like a visibly fewer students of color this year, so like we just know that.
I'm not sure if this is entirely already happened or if it's been announced, but I believe OUSD is pushing back their enrollment application deadline because they have a change in their constellation of schools that are going to be available for families. And so they need to I think they've updated their website and their application to have all those options included. And so I didn't know if you'd heard any rumblings or talked to Oakland Rolls about if any folks in Oakland Rolls are going to match that deadline and also push it back.
Well, we've never had the same deadline.
It's been close. No.
I think it was earlier.
Okay.
But like,
all right.
I have not heard any things like that.
They didn't approach it. Okay. Yeah. I think, you know, I was personally of two minds of it. One is like just to have a consistent message, you know, to families about deadlines. But the other message, you know, on the other side, it's like, well, if you've set your deadlines and, you know, families want their opportunity to get in, you know, and it changes their chances.
Right. It goes change their chances, and like everybody can still continue to apply. And then, like,
that's right.
For instance, in DK, like, don't go over to 100 again. Like, we're going to offer 45 spots, you know? Mm-hmm. And we're going to have 46 applications. So, like, mm-hmm. everybody's going to get an offer.
Right.
And then, like, that and a quarter of them or more will turn them down. And, like, and then the round two people will get in DK. Mm-hmm. They, though, there's a whole other bag of chips. We'll have like 20 spaces.
Yeah.
Less, depending on our intent.
Much, much more traditional.
So in a weird way, some of these small ones where we're not going to make one offer, but we don't have a lot of applications, we'll offer with bags for both. They really want to find. Okay, bars can be a hard one everywhere. Mm-hmm. In this weird transition moment where the thing for how we can put some out here, it's like, so quick updates on talk about LCAP for a minute. You know, public here. Hopefully you guys know. I think most of you know a bit about LCAP. But it's LCAP season. It's gonna be on every board meeting agenda from here until June. The LCAP is local for a local control and accountability plan tool. For local educational agencies to set goals, plan actions, leverage our resources to meet the goals and improve student outcomes. So local educational agency, LEA, that's the school district. It's one of the school districts. No, that's what, like OUSD does one of these and have a small single site LEA review on also. I linked the draft LCAP and just kind of flag it.
Any questions on the head of school report?
Okay, so the next item we have is a vote item. We are submitting materials for material revision to the county tomorrow, and this is a material revision that requires you to change enrollment. So we did this last year, so those of you who were on the board last year at this time, it kind of unfortunately become kind of a normal thing, but schools that are Alameda County authorized, we all have an MOU with the county that stipulates a whole bunch of things. And one of the things on there that it says is that any change in total enrollment greater than 10% at a whole school or greater than 25% by grade level, unless you have like one thing, will like require the school to come back to the county to ask for a full revision of your charter. And like in this case, I think that MOU is intended to like keep schools from growing too rapidly was like the intent, and it's turned into something more complex in these recent COVID years where it almost felt like a large number of ACLU County authorized schools had to go for material revision last year and are going yet again this year. Not every single one of them, but a good number of them. And we have experienced a pretty significant drop in a very significant drop in enrollment. We're 20% below what we had planned on at this time last year, right? Like, so that's my feelings about enrollment numbers being kind of confusing, right? And that's right in line with the state. In public schools everywhere, and like OUSD doesn't have to go to ACLU, even though their enrollment is actually down fairly, it is also down significantly. And so is, you know, Alameda Unified and all of the other like big district systems are also seeing the same sorts of changes in enrollment. And so, like, the staff at the county office is pretty like clear that like this is mostly a budget thing, and they're mostly want to review that you've adjusted your finances, match your enrollment, which is something we're really good at as a school. They've already approved our first interim budget report, which reflects all those numbers. And we've been through this last year, so there's not a whole lot of, I don't think we've got a question mark or concern. I don't have any concern about it passing. We will do a public hearing in February, and then a determination, like vote in March or later in February. I can't remember exactly. The public hearing is February 14th, though, and it needs to be board approved tonight so that I can submit it tomorrow. So my ask is for somebody, if you're curious to know more, I think I emailed you guys in advance on purpose. It's like, look at the summary, read that, that has the main info. The rest of it is budget documents that are very similar to the finance documents we've already approved through the first amendment report. And I'd love for somebody to make a motion or ask me questions if you have it, or make a motion to approve our materials that we'll be submitting for the enrollment for all the business amendments.
I have just a quick comment. Just thanks for all the work. Yeah. It's a lot of work to get the whole charter, you know, up to date. Because every time you revise, you have to get, you know, all... good. Okay, great. But still, yeah, started it. Okay.
I don't have to do the whole red line
startup. In this case, because we had done it recently enough.
No, they just didn't
work. Oh, the ACOE didn't. Okay. But all, even the financial updates and all the other work. So, and just as a board, like, we're going to be looking at another one of these, you know, in the late summer or fall, yeah, soon, which would be for the whole full, seeking a full renewal. And then just, you know, as I was looking at the enrollment in the material revision, it all seems totally reasonable. And I was glad to see the application numbers tonight. And I can see how, with the application numbers we have, there's a pathway to seeing to the numbers that are in what we're about to vote on. So that's nice to see. And it could still, but it's hard, it's tricky, it still could not work out. And there's a chance that even as we are going through renewal next year, that there might have to be more updates, and who knows? I think our work is just to always just stay on top of it as best we can.
I agree, and would say that there's always a chance that we'll be going up for renewal and then another material revision in the middle of our renewal process for enrollment again. So I'll say on the county side, they don't want to do them every year. And they also are trying to look at adjusting the language in the MOU.
Yeah.
For all the schools. And so through the renewal.
Or through even through the renewal, just take care of it. Yeah.
Not a full revision. It's just a review of the budget documents, or like a more thorough review of the first interim, because essentially all of the information report is included for the interim that we've already board approved, we've already submitted, and they've already accepted it. And so they're asking for the same financial documents again to make sure we're financial, we're like adjusting for our numbers and we're fiscally done. That's the main purpose. That's the purpose of the, you know, the second and mid case. Any other questions?
Although, yeah, other questions or comments about the charter?
I will motion to approve.
Second.
All right, Greg, call the vote.
All right, with Sarah's motion and Donald's second. We can go for it.
Okay, all in favor, raise hand.
Aye, yeah.
All opposed? None?
None. No one abstained, no one's absent. No. All right.
All right, great. Next up is Greg with the Finance Committee.
All right.
Or as we call it at work, the Funance.
The Finance Committee. All right. So all the files are on the agenda. All the files we there's a oh great. Yeah, there's a presentation. There you go. There's a forecast. There's a balance sheet. There's a cash flow. Yay. So the Finance Committee, we met. We talked about a few different things. We looked at our monthly kind of latest forecast. We talked a little about the state updates. So in the forecast, there was some changes. We're forecasted at the end of the year to have an operating income of just about $280,000. The change from the prior month was mostly due to that work to align enrollment and it will really align ADA. And that has an impact on the LCFF and other state revenue. And then there was some increases in the on the revenue side, mostly on the local revenue that was mostly driven by after school program resources that are coming in. And so you may have seen, I mean, they're I know they talked to Finance Committee. Krishna shared that she and Melody are working on how they're going to think about investing some of those resources back into program right away. And we saw on Parent Square, you know, the posts for hiring and things like, at least I saw that so far. Mm-hmm. So they're working on getting more people, more tutors, more activities. Yeah. Yep. Yep. So that was really exciting. So yeah, so very healthy operating income, an ending fund balance, still, over 30, almost nearly 33% of all of our expenses, and cash is still predicted to remain totally healthy through the rest of the fiscal year. So around enrollment is really stabilized, but these numbers were through the end of December, like before the holidays, and there was definitely illness and a dip in attendance for sure. So we're hoping to see that bounce back a little bit in January, but January is also traditionally a very hard time for illness and attendance as well. And then we moved on. So before I move on to the state, any questions about just the monthly dollars forecasts? Yeah, we talked about cash flow. So at the state level, since we last met, the governor released his proposal for this whole state's budget, known as the January proposal. EdTech went over the process of like how what happens hopefully between now and the end of June, and when the governor signs a budget that the legislatures have passed. Right now, there's all these hearings that happen on different bills and different things, and then the governor will release a May revise, and there'll be updated. That'll also be based on like updated analysis on the state's revenue at that point from I forget the legal. I can't remember which office forecasts what the state's revenue will be. In general, though, the K-12 funding was the state is projecting a $22 billion deficit. The governor is, but the governor's not making that up in K-12. The governor is forecasting still like an over 8% cost of living adjustment for K-12.
Wow.
So even in a time when there'll be tightening in other parts of the budget. Oh, sorry. Am I skipping around on the presentation? My bad. We talked a little bit about this arts and music grant. So we passed Prop 8. So there'll be some new funding around arts and music. It is a little offset though in the governor's revise, because the governor had already put some arts and music funding in the budget for this year. And part of how he's proposing to close the deficit is pulling back some of the funding for this year. So then, and then we saw this, but then this money will, this is new money that will pass for next year. So we're going to get money for arts and music, but it won't be quite as much as otherwise would have been.
But like we lose money this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
We saw the reflection.
Yep. And I think that was the main thing. And then the rest of the other stuff we spent with on the committee was that we went ahead, because I had a sneak peek from the executive committee prior. The finance committee started to try and wrestle with the idea of the community agreements and the land acknowledgement and the ABAR statement, and just tried to figure out what might be our next steps. And so we just started that at a very high level, like very brief conversation. And I don't know if you want to add anything that I may have forgotten about from our finance committee meeting.
Can I ask a question about Prop 28?
Yeah.
What are the stipulations on that money?
Well, the main, as you see there, one of the main things is that it has to supplement what you already have. Right. It can't supplant.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you already had a music teacher,
yeah,
you can't just like shift and pay.
Unless I was going to have to cut that.
Yeah. No, that's not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's yeah. That, and we talked about that. So that's not.
No.
Oh. Okay.
Well.
Yeah.
That's the main stipulation that we're aware of. The other thing is that it can be spent. We're gonna get the money each year for many years, and each tranche you get, you can spend over multiple years. So it's very flexible as well. But yeah.
It's typical. So like there will be a whole bunch of other things, mm-hmm. like similar to our expanded learning opportunity program. Like it's like, oh, there's all this money and there's all these stipulations, but because there's no audit guide, you don't really know what the stipulations are. And so it's like, you know, it's going to be a little bit like that.
We do know that like ELO, P, and a bunch of others, there will have to be a specific plan developed that we will have to look at as a board, and the board has to approve it, and we have to put it on our website, like we do with many other specific sources of funding. Mm-hmm. Donald, do you have a question?
Yes. Are there already ideas for that money, for the arts and music money?
I mean, we haven't had it. Like, we haven't talked about it internally at all. Mm-hmm. Because we learned about, like, I learned about it, you know, weeks ago. So, and like, I also, this is January version of the budget from Midham, and so,
yeah.
No. Yep. And if I'm honest about how we budget, like I'm always looking for ways that I can have money like this actually support our budget health, which means like looking for that opportunity to pay for something that I might already be paying for in a way that is in line and not moving it further.
Or something that might be new, but you were going to use some other dollars for.
They knew that we were planning.
But yeah.
Before, that's more likely, but there are some of it can't just be like materials. It's like some of it can be staffing or like mm-hmm. our ways, where it's the need for like expanding left in middle school and staffing.
Yeah, it works out to about, they've got it on here, it's about $119 per kid. And then it's more if the child is SED, yeah, qualifies. You know, so you could think about, you know, $12 a month in art and music. So it's not nothing but it's also, you know, when you get a class, we have to think about how to do it. Yeah. So we will continue to get updates at the finance committee level for sure on this as like audit guides get developed and stuff like that, or changes to other things. We'll start looking at how the January proposal like looks over 3 years, stuff like, which some of that had to be already done for the revision that we just approved.
Yeah. You can look at the first draft of that.
Materials
that are folder, if you're curious, because it's like a really nice, simple, you know, 3 year out budget.
Yeah. But generally the main, I think the real headline is that, you know, the budget is likely to be totally fine and remain healthy. It's always going to be about for the next year or two. It's going to be as long as we have the enrollment we need. If we have the enrollment, it's going to look good. And if we don't, we'll have to change things. Yeah, we'll have to adjust. Any other questions for finance?
All right, let's turn it over to Kara for academic.
Yeah, I put up the updates that Jeff and I shared in the last meeting that was at meeting. I won't go over them in super detail. They talked about the training continuing earlier, assessments that are happening, the math work that teachers are focusing on in the classroom. And then the focus of our meeting was primary survey. I think we had more results this year than in previous years, but the demographic breakdown and who responds really says a lot about who responds. It's not a response loss or really. But overall the responses were good. They're in line with what they were last year with the younger students being here and the brand new
There we go.
Okay, so it's very small. Yeah, I'm like, better put in this voice.
Oh, you're good. You're good. That's amazing.
Yeah, so most of it was looking at the responses. Our staff response was pretty good. The staff are required to complete it as opposed to parents and students who
So all the data that we can do it.
Are there, sorry, maybe I haven't gotten there yet. Are there next steps that school's thinking about in response to this data?
That I don't necessarily know. I mean, kind of what this might look like. It's what the data tells us, which is always kind of challenging to work with because the questions are national and large. Daniel?
Yeah, this is kind of the summary that staff are looking at. We can open each one of those up and see if by question and you can see by we give you who answered what, right? Gives you no more information grade level and graphic. So in that kind of search that then we found more stuff, things that we can kind of focus on. But it's also those things like in the staff one around for support for academic learning, like one of the questions is, are students prepared for AP and advanced placement? Right, and so like that's not applicable for us, but that answer has.
Yeah,
there's also like people, things in there. So it's like little things like that, but then also like the more interesting things when you're actually looking at specific questions and what different viewers answer. And I know we're fairly beginning to know things like the knowledge of parents and discipline and that kind of thing, where and it's interesting conundrum where a lot of times it depends, which is why it's not always clear because it's situational also. And that's kind of the process that we try and support is like that. Let's look at the context and you're navigating these, whatever's happening based on that context, while they're also being like real clear, like when this happened, this happened. We had wonderings around that kind of thing also.
We had some middle school students, like we just not feel like they were just
classrooms will call them classroom agreements. So then if you're told, like, do you understand the rules of the school? You might say no, but like, I know what all the community agreements are. We had talked about that. What is there like a simplified version that would be easier for not just students but staff and families and everything? Because it is long.
The questions are broad.
Like yes,
they're not very specific. There's part of the answer.
So we have like some survey examples from other public Montessori schools that we're looking at. But it's also this is
like, the one that's going to be. So it's like more static, especially
There's been reasons why we don't change the complexity because then you can compare our goals. And yeah, that's all nice. At least for another year.
Well, and it is a requirement that we survey stakeholders every year. It's like part of local indicators and LCAP informs LCAP, all that stuff. Yeah. Yep. I know another school, Sky, S-K-E. Yeah, there's another one, but yeah.
It's very
SKII or something.
SCAII.
Yeah.
So you can't use your
school culture.
No, you.
We had done that in the past, but then that adds extra, so you can still
have there's no state like law that says that you have to choose from one of these or anything like that. You just have to be able to document that you have surveyed and requested input from all these key stakeholders at least annually. So the bar is pretty low.
You can, like, if we, and I think we just thought that we were prep for renewal for something.
Yeah.
We talked about it before, right? It was just about having like the one, two, more like questions. But basically, once we finish our, like, this year, we can choose to write a new survey and commit to it. But then you really have to be able to not change it for a couple of weeks. What's the point?
Yeah.
So we could write our own, we can use Panorama to do that. We can write our own survey through Dan Mallow. So, okay, then it will be reference. So these bits that say what we land with the other schools that do that, that won't be there.
Well, one thing I'll just say is that I think I remember last year that the safety piece was, I know, an area that was the focus for me now, not like the program talking about, like, that went up for coverage, right? So that's great. Okay, this is my memory, so please correct me, but I remember that our results from this specifically, we noticed a gap in students feeling safe, and the feedback was around that a lot of that was coming from playground stuff, unstructured, and not feeling unsafe in the classroom.
Not like the structure.
Less
structure. But those are, that area has, looks like it's gone up across the board, so it's good to see.
Yes, do you feel like it's capturing what you want to know? I mean, I guess that's sort of the bigger question, right? Yeah, it's like, how do you
from that?
A lot of effort.
Yeah.
If you really like home through, then you find a few things that are like, okay, that's a good thing.
It's been pretty quiet. Marcella basically has been put basically, I guess, on a 2-month cycle. So in February, we have FAC meetings. Right now, the FAC has a mini work day this weekend. We just went on campus and we're building another gym structure. And then they're supporting this desk with the Great Penguin Stat Lounge. I'm not sure all of the ins and outs on that, but they're helping her out with some types of activities. And then there's a regular MBC meeting and the morning coffee in February at some point. Anne and I have been meeting with Krishna and sort of talking about looking ahead at how FAC can support around the new work and sort of like community meetings and family engagement.
Is the coffee on the calendar?
I don't think it is.
Okay.
Because I want her to change it because she set all of the FAC meetings for the day after the board meeting, and for me to be able to report on anything at the board meeting, I need her not to have meetings today.
So I don't think she put through.
Got it. Okay.
But I think her goal is to have people after that. Oh. I'm not trying to have her do that.
All right. Exec and governance. So I wanted to, well, just a reminder of regular standing items for exec, form 700. Let me get mine in.
Yeah, it's time. Do you...
Form 700 has to be a wet signature. So
yeah,
bring it in.
They're always linked on the agenda. I can.
Anybody need me to print that?
There is an upcoming training on them. If you want a training, sorry, go ahead. I put mine in Miss Rosie's box. You can use the school's address. You can use on the form for your address. It does not need to be your personal. It can be the school's address. These are public documents.
Great. So do that. The thing I wanted to spend the bulk of our time on, which we talked about at the exec team, was thinking about what are the next steps following up from our board retreat. And so I linked follow up in there. Just to guide my own thinking.
I can pull it up.
Great, that'd be great.
Look at it here.
Yeah, thanks. So first it's like it was a month, almost 2 months ago, because it was the start of December. Yeah, it was our hour. Sorry.
Give me the PDF.
Sorry.
Like opening PowerPoint somewhere behind one of these notes.
Great. Well, I mean, there's nothing urgent to look at, but so we spent some time, each board member sharing a little bit about our background and what brought us to the board. And then we went into discussing the kind of draft long-term goals that Krishna and Daniel developed and brainstormed what were some potential metrics that we could use for those goals. And then also what could the role of the board be in supporting those. So that document, I typed everything up from that night, and all of those notes are also in there, called Draft UMCS Long-Term Goal Metrics Brainstorm. I love a descriptive title. thank you. Of course. So in terms of what's next for that, we want to assign the goals to committees or other groups. So basically like have groups that are in charge of the certain goals or that are responsible for them to develop some metrics, to finalize those metrics and determine the committee activities that are aligned both in the short and long term to support those goals. So what we did during exec was think through what's our recommendation for like which committee holds which of these goals. And so we wanted to talk about that tonight and finalize that so that then committees can start doing that work. So that's where we're at. Any questions before we jump in? Some of them are like pretty obvious. Cool. Okay, so the first one is that we have clear, compelling, rigorous whole child growth data that demonstrates all students are thriving. We recommended that academic committee take this on. Protest, press outrage. Cool. The next one is really connected to the teacher training program, but the community of the global majority with a commitment to Oakland students and families have pathways to viable careers in public Montessori education that are typically denied to them through other avenues. So this, we're actually recommending that there would be a staff group that Krishna and Daniel work with on this, that we get involved, like at least one other like leadership member to be working on that. But then it has impacts, or that group would kind of check in with finance and executive as it like impacts both of the work of both of those committees. You want to say more about that? I think that was Greg's suggestion.
More like making steps, figuring out our metrics for the ball.
Where's that?
Yeah, but I think with an idea that there's like the potentially a group, potentially other folks. If there are, you know, I know this has been your goal's baby, but if there are other folks that you think can and should be playing the role, and
worldwide recognition, love it. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Probably you.
I think that was Davis. That was his final wish to us, was to get worldwide recognition. All right, cool. The next one is about facilities. So security in our facilities allows us to continuously invest in preparing all environments. So that's a finance one, given about money and leases and loans.
My only little plug there is that could also be a place for like either a staff leadership body and or even academic committee. There's a piece of that you might want to keep an eye on, because it's not just like the campus, it's also the classroom environments, yeah. Materials that are prepared, stuff like that. So
yeah.
So it could, some of these could have like a light dotted line or.
Yeah. That would be great to get, you know, staff in on that. Like,
I definitely think finance can like hold the bulk of it,
right,
for sure.
Right. But I agree. And then the ABAR, this was one we talked about this being all cuts across. I have another alternative to offer, is that it would actually live in exec to support that in terms of how it lives in the board, but then it would still live. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
because that's how it will get into other committees, is if the work is happening at the board level.
It's a little bit all of that, right?
Right.
Yeah. Trying to do a certain amount of bringing it to the board.
Yep.
And thinking about like how we want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's one of those things where like if nobody owns it,
exactly,
then nobody owns it. That's what I worry about. Yeah. But you also don't want to say, oh, we have one person owning it, so no one else has to think about it. So there's a tension there, and I think we have to keep just naming it and yeah, just keep working through it.
Whatever you decide. I'm not sure you want to make that suggestion today, but yeah.
And we'll go on to the next one.
Well, and I said, yeah, maybe.
So,
and that's something that can be done through. I think if our board was bigger, that might be
kind of, yeah,
like open right at the corner of the board of five. We might be able to, but like in a long, I think in a long term, like planning, that's part of the metrics on it could be like having a committee of the board that works with staff, like across,
Well, I think that was one of the questions that I wanted to bring up after we like looked at all of these, but do we have the right committees for the goals that we identified? You know, like we're putting these in, they mostly fit-ish, but
maybe that's what you asked, but it sounds like.
I was on an ABAR committee of the board and of a Montessori training center, and it felt everyone was all excited at first, and then it felt like the work got siloed.
Mm-hmm.
And there it was almost like, oh, like they're doing that.
Yeah.
And so like finding that the way that it cuts across all the
You gotta have both. You gotta have someone own it, and you've gotta ask every leader to also own it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Maybe that's just part of all of make it good for all things. Since we're in attendance and all the meetings.
We would care about it.
Chair all the
committee would be made of chairs.
Oh, all the chairs. Oh, interesting. But also then being so small, then like that should just be the board.
Currently that would be a quorum of the board and it would be a board meeting.
Yeah.
That's what you get. Yeah. Of 11 or 12 or something, which is kind of big, but
Okay, the next one. We are a community institution. We're all families, especially families with the global majority, feel connected, involved, and have access to resources. I actually think this is one that faculty.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
So I think we want to think about how one, all of these goals and things is like brought to staff and families, and they have some kind of sense of like, what are we talking about? In order to engage in the board. But so I think that's the next step.
And this isn't far off of things that we've talked about when mm-hmm. it's about being able to see over the last many years. Like I feel like mm-hmm. I don't know if you hear, I remember. And it's sort of like a distillation of words, but like these are not new words.
No. For this stuff that we've worked towards with varying levels of success and engagement. And that's just figuring out the people who engage and the ones who get on the ball. People who have not been engaged thus far.
Right. Expand our level of engagement.
Yeah.
To include the people who feel like they're engaging in the way that they can, in a way that's meaningful to them. Maybe not somebody that is in the But I was like,
that's a conversation. You and I, yes. And then the last one, about enrollment with a full complement of for students at every grade level with a healthy wait list, because we are a model of public Montessori program and we share our story.
It's marketing and enrollment, so people in finance, but it includes really also in a lot of other things. And if you have, what are your thoughts?
To be the ops team.
Yeah, but in this moment, we were talking about, the community that would hold this goal versus mm-hmm. all the goals are held by the school and staff.
Yeah. It's marketing, but it's also.
Excellent.
Right. For the market.
But assuming that we're doing,
Yes, I agree.
That one, mm-hmm. if we have that, then this is, they're all like, not they're not mutually exclusive. Most of them are deeply interconnected.
Mm-hmm. Finance is the one committee that I haven't sat on this board. Is it like, this would put this, you're already having conversations about involvement. Right, so that
and marketing,
so that fits. And I'm assuming you're already having conversations about facilities when it like makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So seems like that's not gonna overburden.
It could also be. I'll just say as the finance chair, if anyone on here sees one of these red recommendations where it says finance, and they sit on any other body. And they want that body to own it as well, they are welcome to. This is not a, it is okay. And we,
what it's making me think is that I want to be on finance committee because I want to talk about it. But
I can get off of finance committee. I can, we are back. That's a, the next agenda item is coming up, Sarah. So we have to be two people. I mean, okay, let me think about that for a sec. It is quorum of the board, but you're posting an agenda and you're talking. I mean, I think it's okay.
So it's considered both kinds of meetings.
Yeah, you're just calling it a committee meeting, but we follow all the same rules for our committees and boards, so we're good either way. We post agendas for committees. We take minutes for, you know.
This can't accidentally. You guys like actually have to be careful about chatting on the yard. That's like more of the issue.
Well, and that no, and you couldn't that academic committee, say if all three members were there, can't talk. You can't, but you can't talk about things that aren't on the agenda. Which is true for all five of us right now, you know, going on right now. So.
Yeah, but yeah, I think it is fine. that is board and committee officers and members is next
on. Is next on the list. Do you want to move on to the next item?
I'm gonna think about it. I'll
you can back. Attend.
Yeah. When is it?
Finance committee. Yeah. It's the Thursday before.
That's right. I don't actually have to be officially.
You can attend the meeting because we're already like, and then you're quorum of, we are quorum of the board, right? But we're only talking about what's on the agenda, and you have to get out for closed session because you're not on the committee.
Yeah.
Thursdays are
good. I think that's how that
works. That, yeah.
So I'm to complicate that. Like, I'm going to like call my sister about this.
Yeah. Talk to your sister. But don't, Sarah, at any moment. It's all, I mean, I've been on that committee for years. Yeah. So.
No.
I mean, you're.
It's a pretty.
It's a fun. Yeah. You've got dedicated and you've got dedicated staff.
Yeah. No. I'm not gonna do it.
But. Okay. All right.
But I will come to meeting and maybe we can. I'll be.
They're almost always the third day before at 3 o'clock, right at dismissal. So yeah.
Anybody else interested in jumping around or excite you? Wait, sorry, I didn't talk about that last one, though.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, let's wrap up the goals, and then we'll do a little bit more on exec committee.
Okay.
Just real quick. Yeah.
Okay, so it sounds like these assignments make sense. So the goal is for next committee meetings to start to discuss more, like what would the metrics be that would be a reflection of achieving that goal, and what are some short-term things or longer-term things that the board can be doing with that. Okay. All right, so with that, Form 700.
Well, so if you're working on your Form 700, I can't tell you this is like official advice or anything, but my understanding of the instructions, you definitely need the cover page, but if you have like a, what I will call as like a traditional job where you have like a salary, say, you will likely also need schedule looks like C, which is another piece of paper. Okay. So, yeah, you declare. So if you have income, you declare your income. If you have a spouse and your spouse has income, you declare half of your spouse's income. And you do that. Both of those things are done on Schedule C. And then if you have other investments and gifts and other things you need to disclose or specific property you need to disclose, you might need other pages or other schedules. Your home that is primary residence does not have to be disclosed. This is in the instructions. You can read this for yourself. I'm happy to share. It's a public document. Mine was two pages. I declared I had the cover page and my Schedule C.
Okay, so I'm gonna do some scheduled
out last at the end of last year when I joined. Do I have to do it again?
Yep. Yep.
What's your
No, I use the school. I use the school's phone number and the school's address. And that just leads me into a few more things that there are a bunch of trainings coming up. So Young Mini has four separate webinars coming up. One is on the Brown Act, which and another one is on conflicts of interest. A third one is on Form 700 compliance, a whole webinar just on this form. And the fourth is the Public Records Act, which we're also subject to. It is both law and best practice that board members and executive admin like all get trained annually on all these things. And so these are coming up. And so I wanted to know if we could have a quick discussion about like, what's the best way to like, let's say we all wanted to go, we can all attend these webinars because like you can't talk on them or anything like that. There's no quorum rules. Yeah, we don't have to post an agenda. That's all allowed. If you register, you get the slides emailed to you and you get a recording, but you only have like a week or two to watch the recording because the lawyers understand that what they're saying, laws change and things change. So they don't want you to go back and reference some legal advice because it gets stale. So you only have so much time to watch it. There's like four of them, three of them are each $75. One of them is $60. It's all per person. And I was just, you know, we could one person could register and get all the links and share and watch. And then everyone can watch on their own, you know, the videos, but you have to do it within a certain time window. Maybe a couple of us, you know, maybe a board member could register and a staff member could register, but I just wasn't sure what the best way to do it was, or if Krishna, if you register with the credit card and just put in other people's names and emails. I didn't know. Yeah.
But yeah, we can do that. I do actually think it's like a Brown Act training. Back in the day, when we used to just like go to them or you could invite somebody, like partners would like have like a group one or whatever, like it would be a couple of us and get together and we could just like hold our meeting in a different location for the training. Like that was better. I will say that, like, it's not exciting stuff. It doesn't sound like exciting stuff, but like it's also like really important and can be really helpful in just understanding. Credit to Greg for like really like knowing a lot about it, but like learning more about it myself has been helpful.
Yeah, I've been trained like 10 times and I learn something new every time, and it does change. It's also we used to pay the lawyer $1,000, $1,500 to have them come and do a 2-hour training or something like that. I don't know. Like it's about equivalent. And you don't have to go anywhere. You can watch the recording. You know, that's kind of nice.
I really just like can't with the recording. I'll do 20 other things at the same time, and like if even if I play in the background. So for me, I would
sign up.
So I want just reflect on it.
Like, right.
At $50 a pop, it's cool to cover it.
Right. Well, and the other thing is. Yeah. So for example, I would love if like Buck would just sign me up for all of them and pay for it with the school credit card. Just use my name and email. And then I'll get the links and the calendar invites and everything. So that would be fabulous. And I would attend all four. So that would be great. I can send it. I can email you again, all the links. Yeah. I'll email it to the board. Yeah. Yeah. And then sure. And we've put things like this in the budget in the past. We've had a board governance like training money in the budget. So, and I forgot to look up. I can pull it up real quick. But the dollars and time we spend doing this, like it. The mistakes are way more expensive. Like it's better to just know what we're doing and be in compliance. And I also think that the market has just shifted. Like, I don't think Young Mini does it in person anymore. They don't send their people out. They have just the pandemic. They have just shifted the business model, and they'll put 200 people on that webinar for $75 a pop, and you know, do really it's well. Better. Yeah.
Yeah, I will not be watching. 6 o'clock is like
brutal. Yeah. All right. So the next steps are on that is I'm going to email the whole board, and I'm gonna include Mr. Buck. And I'm going to say, Mr. Buck, I'm emailing the whole board. I'll include Krishna and Daniel too, so you all have it. And I'm going to say each board member is going to get back to you, Mr. Buck, which ones they would like. But for me, please, if you could, go ahead and sign me up. Yeah, I think that was all I wanted to share on that item.
Cool.
You want to keep going?
Yeah, let's keep going. Are there any board members that want to change committees, membership, leadership, community officers?
I don't know, Sarah, are there?
There are not. Next.
Okay.
Actually, but next is Krishna, but the...
No, you can start.
Okay, great. So, yeah, so we... every year we have to update and adopt a new safety plan by March 1st, which is why, and then we have to have a public hearing on it beforehand. So welcome to our public hearing.
And I'm just going to say it's 6:58.
It's 6:58. Yep. We are starting the public hearing on the UMCS school safety plan, which is included in the materials for this meeting.
Okay. And I can just share a little bit, which is, you know, we have our current adopted plan. We've been working actually for about a year. We've like had hopes. Like, I think we tried to hit this deadline in the past and we couldn't quite get it done to move to this more updated template of the safety plan. The prior plan was just a much older template and not nearly as comprehensive as this one, which this template comes from our legal counsel, and it meets all the requirements of the most recent laws around safety plans. And it's also, if you open it up in the Google Doc, you can the table of contents is clickable, like, so you can jump around the document because it's quite large. It's full of emergency responses that we all will agree we hope to never ever need or even fathom. And it was interesting working on it, you know, like that there's like different, like there's kind of different things you do if the plane accidentally, you know, lands on the school or near the school, and like you have different plans to follow in those situations. So it's a lot. And so I'll just say, this is the chance for the public to weigh in. There will be another chance. We don't vote on this tonight. We're going to vote on it in February. The public can look at this. They can access this Google Doc anytime they want. They can come at the February meeting and weigh in right then, and more changes could be made then. And staff have been working a ton on getting this up to date and getting it all completed and filled out. And I know that the schools actually started practicing some of the routines as well. So, Krishna, I only started sharing that because you were just like grabbing some stuff off the printer. But if there's anything more you want to share.
It's a living document, I'd say, and while we do it each year, I think it's something that we'll need to like have minor adjustments all the time. So I'll just say that. That's all.
Yeah.
Check it. We'll get those slightly different each year. The majority, it's very intense.
Yeah. It's a lot. And the nice thing is, yeah, it can stay as like we can adopt. Well, one day in next month, we can worry about adopting it. But even then, it can stay like an open commentable document. So as things come up, people can suggest. And
if you see some blanks, like it's like,
well, and it doesn't, I mean, and hopefully by the time we adopt, we'll have that information. We'll see.
They don't know where they are.
Yeah.
We'll
yeah.
We have a couple other ideas for how to figure it out.
Yeah, so there are no members. There's still no members of the public on the Zoom call, and there's none here in person. So I don't know if board members have any comments or questions about this for this public hearing.
My only note, because I thought this would be one that parents might look at in America in 2023, is the active shooter one, which is, it says pending. I know it's a practice, but so. No, I know that the part at the top.
Yeah, pending. I know.
Is it?
Pending? I think it's not what page is that on. It's like, that's sort of what that was like.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Okay, and I just wasn't sure what the page
was like. 52. It seems like it's all there.
I think it is all there.
Yeah.
And I just think.
All right, if there are no comments, other comments or from the board or the public, we can close the public.
Close the public hearing at 7:02.
And move to other business. And so, Greg, what's up with OUSD?
Well, so I've already shared about the governor's proposal, so I won't share more about that. At the county, since we've last met, the new county superintendent has taken office in her new role, so she's there on the job. And the county board has returned from holiday and they've started, you know, meeting again. I guess one state update that's relevant. It's relevant to us, but it doesn't necessarily apply to us, which is that the state emergency related to COVID-19 is scheduled to end at the end of February, the governor's state of emergency. And that has implications for all sorts of public agencies' flexibilities with the Brown Act. Like there are lots of public agencies that have been adopting findings still, which allow them to meet virtual only without posting the addresses of where the body's members are meeting from. So my understanding is that is all ending starting March 1st. And so, for example, the county meeting where we'll have our public hearing and our vote at the Metro Vision, like if that all happens in February, it could be virtual if that's how the county board is meeting, or it could be in person and it might require people going down to the Hayward office. So just, I don't know what the status is, but that's just a dynamic that's right in flux right around the timing of the revision. And we can talk more about that later. Yeah. Yeah. And then, and they can have guests, like guests or presentations could still be virtual. They could have hybrid rules, like it's that they have to be in person. Yeah. So then in Oakland, since we last met, the new school board does a couple major dynamics, right? The new school board has convened. They have, they adopted a resolution rescinding the school closures that were slated to close at the end of this current school year. We touched on that earlier related to our enrollment timeline and stuff like that. There's a new board president, there's a new board vice president, and they had their own board meeting last night, and they're moving forward with the work of keeping those schools open. And the resolution calls for calls for those same schools to be offered an opportunity to, like, I forget the exact language, improve, transform, you know, something like that, get support. It did make me very, you know, Oakland clearly wants to have lots of little schools. I mean, ideally they'd want to have lots of, and we'd all want lots of very, very large school. I mean, that would be great. But for given where we're at, that's how I interpret that vote, is that the people voted for those board members. They ran on a very clear agenda that they were going to rescind those closures. So no one should be surprised that that's exactly what they did. Not at all. And so now that means, okay, so you want to run a lot of, you know, less than ideally enrolled schools. How do we design for that? You know, and I do think there are ways you can run schools that are more, that are, if they're designed to be smaller. So it made me curious about how, what's our role as a school? You know, like, how are we outreaching to county elected officials, the elected OUSD officials? How are we helping them visit us, but then, and being, but being open to what's the work they're going to be doing with those schools or any of their schools, and how, you know, what might we have that might be of interest to them? Are they curious about multi-age classrooms and pedagogy that matches that? Are they curious about, you know, the training we're doing with our own teachers, stuff like that? I mean, we don't need to, not in trying to like cram anything down anyone's throats, but just trying to keep the communication open. And it seemed like it was a time when they're about to engage like 5 elementary schools in a process, but it's all yet to be determined. The resolution said something about that, but I haven't seen staff come back with any plans yet. They barely have had a time to do that. Yeah, I don't know. What else? Oh, and we have a new mayor. We have a new council member. I mean, a lot of new stuff. Yeah. A lot of stuff going on in the city.
All right. Well, let's move. Do you have a motion to approve the minutes from our December 1st meeting? Second. All right. All in favor? Oh, wait. No, yeah. All in favor? Hand? All opposed? None opposed or abstained?
Awesome.
Next item, voting on the general consent report. The only piece that was on that was the school accountability report card. Any questions or comments on the general consent report? All right, do you have a motion? I have a second. All in favor?
Who's the second? Here. All right.
All in favor of approving the general consent report?
Aye.
All opposed? None opposed, none abstained.
All right.
Passes.
Unanimously.
Any items, new business items for future meetings?
You can table it.
Yeah, that's what I told
you. I wasn't sure, so I left it.
Nope, that was me not reading.
Oh, both.
Yeah,
together. I didn't want to remove it. I figured, because I was like, oh, you just table it.
All right.
Sounds like none.
Yeah, none. Okay, we will move into closed session. The only item in our closed session is the public employee performance evaluation of the head of school.
And there's still no one on the Zoom call, so there's no public comments. Oh, and it's 7:10.
7:10, we're going to close session.
All right, we'll pause the recording.
All right, we are returning from closed session at 7:46, and there were no votes taken during closed session. We are tabling the final final item of about the retreat, which was incorrectly agendized. So with that, I will adjourn the meeting at 7:46 p.m.
Awesome.
Good night.